So hear God's people pray for the wonderful privilege that we have to be able to go into the very throne room of God. You know that we have a standing invitation to do so. That our Heavenly Father desires to hear your voice and my voice. And we can make our request known to Him. We don't often take advantages of it, but we thank God. Thank God. Our desire while we're here is to be sharing on the family. As I said to the Sunday school class on Sunday morning, that our theme is focused on the family, not an original theme by no means. And we want to, by God's grace and God's help while we're here, to share on the family. Not that I am any expert. I have struggles just like you. I have feet of clay. And but I thank God for the opportunity to be able to do this. Someone might say in their minds, well, why do we need to keep talking about the family? Well, I will answer that question this way. A preacher went to a church once and he was preaching and preached on a particular subject. Well, they asked him to be the pastor of the church, and he went and he got near the people, and so he got up and he preached on love. And next Sunday he preached on the same topic, same outline, same passage. Third Sunday did the same thing. Finally the deacon board pulled him aside the third Sunday and said, "Now, we know it's good for repetition, but why are you keep preaching on this?" He said, "Well, simply this. When you start to practice it, so I'll stop preaching it and move on to something else." And I say that we need to talk about the family over and over, that until we as God's people in particular, when we look at the world, when we look at our country, you see the family is in trouble, and the church is no exception. And so you and I need to be reminded over and over again what is God's word has to say on the family, as parents, with our children. And that's what we're dealing with in the Sunday school. We're looking at the parent-child relationship and the importance of parents as we communicate God's truth to our children. And so during these Tuesday night sessions, we're going to be talking about the marriage life. We want to be talking about the husband's responsibility to make his wife radiant. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 that Christ is preparing his church to be a glorious church. And someone prayed in their prayer about the bridegroom receiving his bride. And as husbands, we are responsible. Someone has said that the marriage life is like a city under siege. There are those who are trying to get in, those who are trying to get out. And so we hope that as we look at the Word of God, as we look at the Word of God tonight and the next few Tuesday nights, next week we're going to go to that famous passage in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and talk about how the husband is responsible to make his wife radiant. We're going to look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Genesis this evening. The book of Genesis this evening. We want to talk about how marriage is a partnership. Marriage is a partnership. It's a partnership of two. Some say three if you have God in there. But I want to focus in terms of the husband and wife relationship. Now, as we look at Genesis chapter 2, we find these facts. The fact that marriage is a partnership is rooted in the text. In Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cling to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Lord, I have a blessing to the reading of this holy and precious words. Amen. Someone has said that the marriage relationship is the most delightful and most sacred and solemn of all human relations. It is the blending of lines and the union of hearts that two may walk together up the hill of life and meet the dawn together, bearing life's burden and sharing its joys and sorrow. Marriage, the marriage relationship, is the most sacred and solemn of all human relationships. That statement alone shall challenge your heart and my heart. Many times we take marriage and we joke about marriage, but if we believe that statement, the Bible says, the statement says that it is sacred, it is solemn. And I believe God sees it that way as well. And we as God's people see it that way as being sacred and solemn. Seeing it as God bringing two lives together, to blend them together, to harmonize together. And that two people can find fulfillment in each other and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they may have problems, yet they will have joys. And in the midst of their sorrows and their difficulty, they have the assurance that God is with them. And that's the challenge. Someone has said that many times, the wedding is exciting, but when you get into the marriage, it takes work. It takes work on both parts of the party. And they must understand, and especially the husband, we must take the leading role. God has given that responsibility to us. And so as we look at this passage, we want to look at four facts as we explore Genesis chapter 2. And the first thing we want to point out in verse 18 is the fact that the planner of the partnership is God. The verse says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And so when we think about marriage, when we think about people coming together, we must always remember that it is God's, marriage was God's idea. Not the sociologist, not the psychiatrist, not all these brains and all these who are bringing their thought into how marriage should be. Marriage was God's idea from the very beginning. God is the planner of it. Chapter 2, verse 18 points that out. God is the planner. And so, if God is the creator and the planner of marriage, then we need, as someone said, to go to his manual and his blueprint to see what he has to say about it. And many times, it's sad to say, even in Christian marriages, we go here, we go there, we go everywhere, but we don't come back to the original blueprint and seek and see what God has to say about us and our marriages. And if we want our marriages to work, we need to go to the planner, the one who originated, and see what he had in mind for it. And so when we look at verse 18, the plan of the partnership was God's idea. But also when we look at the same verse, marriage was created because God saw a need in man. God saw a need in man. The Bible says it's not good that man should be alone. Adam had a need. God saw that. And so God, when he saw this need, God responded to Adam's need by having Adam recognize the need himself. And so as someone has said, if they were writing the scriptures, that it's not good that man should be alone, immediately they would have created a woman. But God wanted Adam to see this need that he had himself. And so in verse 18 and 19, or verse 19 and verse 20, the Bible says, God gave Adam an assignment. God said, Adam, come here. Come here. And the Bible says, of the ground, the Lord God made every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, unto the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. God showed him his need by getting him to look at the need of the animal. Adam, come here. I have an assignment for you. Name the animals. And Adam went down the line, Mr. and Mrs. Pigeon, Mr. and Mrs. Cow, Mr. and Mrs. This, Mr. and Mrs. That, Mr. and Mrs. And then it finally dawned on this man. I don't have a missus. I don't have a missus here. And those that I see, they don't attract me. They don't interest me. And so all of a sudden it dawned on this man that he was alone. God showed him his need by getting him the name of the animals. But verse 20 says, there was not any there that was fit for Adam. God had something else in store for Adam. God had something absolutely surpassing all of his creation that Adam made. God had the very best. I want to say to you as young, if you are a young person here tonight, you are not married. God has the very best for you. Don't rush it. Wait upon God. God has the very best for you. God had the very best. And so Eve, as someone has said, was a result of God's operative process. God created the need in Adam, and then God created the person to meet that need. Verse 21 and verse 22. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman and brought her to the man. And so God, marriage was not only God's idea, but God was in the process of making Adam understand that he had a need for a wife, and then God turned around and provided the wife for him. And so, when we look at this whole idea, the Eve was a result of God's operative process. God created the need, God created the person to fulfill that need. And again, as I say, for those of you who might be here, who are single, God wants to provide for you that special person. But you need to remain in the will of God, to trust Him, and to honor Him. God operates, and God does things in a marvelous way, beyond what we can think or do or ask, beyond ways that we can even understand. God operates and brings things to pass that we really don't realize how God did it. I say to those of us who are married here this evening, our wives came to us as a result, as we walked in the will of God, as a result of His operational process. And God brought that woman to you because that's the one He had in store for you as you walked in His will. I tell you, in my lifetime, and my wife was here, but I remember back in 1988, I was praying for a wife. And I traveled with Brother Tom and Brother David to Long Island and Palmetto Point, you know, helping them and preaching and just being there with them, carrying their Bibles or whatever I could do. But also I had my eyes open looking for a wife. And I thought that maybe, you know, I'd travel with those guys and any house we would go into in Palmetto Point, Brother Tom would say, you know, he's single, you know. You know, he's single. So one night I said to Brother Tom, I said, Brother Tom, you're introducing me here to all of these people who have daughters that I'm single. But I said, you got a lot of girls in your house. I know you ain't carrying me there. He said, well, come, my brother. But my thought began, I thought I wouldn't see anyone here in the Bahamas. And so there was a couple in Freeport, the office major and his wife. I said, maybe I had to go to Jamaica. Maybe I'll see one there. And so in 1989, I said, well, if I don't see any in 1989, I'm thinking 2000, I'm going to make a trek to Jamaica and see if anything interesting is over there for me. Lo and behold, 1989, 2 weeks vacation, I decided to make a trip to Long Island. Actually, 2 weeks in Long Island, but on my way, there was a young lady in Nassau who I had interest in. And, but a Happy Thompson's sons, was engaged to a young lady who knew this other young lady. And so I said, well, let me stop and then say hello to, Happy's future daughter-in-law and ask about her friend. I tried to talk with her and I said, oh, what about your friend? She said, well, She has a boyfriend now. My heart sunk. My heart sunk. But then she says, I have another friend. I said, you do? He said, yeah, I can call her right now. And she got on the phone. And guess who she called? Bridget. We went out the first blind date. I went on to Long Island. Came back to Nassau. Stopped a couple of, a day or so. Went over with Bridget again. Went on to, came on to Luther to Palmetto Point. Spent another week in Palmetto Point. Went back. Bridget was just came back from vacation. Sitting down on a couch when I stepped in the door. And so, again, to me, my ideas were different from God. But God had an operative process that he was putting in line for me. I was looking at Jackie's other friend. But Jackie said, no, I have one friend here. And I say to you as young people, honor God and he'll honor you. Those of you, those of us who already have our wives, God has given our wives to us. It was God's design. And so marriage is God's idea. The plan of the partnership is God. No matter what you might be going through in your marriage, no matter what I might be going through, you must always remember that God is always with us. And we need to look to Him. We need to look to His Word. The point number two, the purpose of the partnership. We already alluded to it. The purpose of the partnership is companionship. Companionship. Now, when we think about marriage, there's a lot of and companionship in this context. But as we look at the broader context of Scripture, the purpose of marriage, as we look at the passage even in chapter 1, is for the effective administration of the earth. The Bible says, man, in verse 26 of chapter 1 and verse 28, that they were to have dominion and to rule over. And so, God's design was for Adam and Eve to have authority and to administrate over his creation. That's one of the purposes of God brought man and put man and woman together to do this. And so we see the same concept when we come into the home. The husband and wife is to have dominion over the home. But that's one area. To have the effective administration over the home, but also procreation to produce, bring in life. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, to bring children into the world. Another aspect is also to have sexual fulfillment for marriage. The Bible says that marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. Paul says, as he wrote to the saints at Corinth, chapter 7, that every man should have his own wife. What do you mean by have? He just doesn't mean marry. He means to have his wife intimately. And so, one of the purposes of marriage is procreation, sexual fulfillment, but also it is an illustration of Christ and his church, Ephesians 5. But let me come to this passage. God says, it is not good that man shall be alone. It is not good that man should be alone. Adam lived in inadequacy. In spite of all the wonderful things God had created in the Garden of Eden, not one of them was adequate for Adam. None of the animals as splendid and as beautiful as they were. Didn't provided a fitting companion for Adam. One of the whole ideas about marriage, God has given us our wives for companionship. Companionship. Not just for the physical expression, but that they may be our friends as men. That they may share with us. That they may be our companions. Someone has said, the strategic role of fellowship in marriage provides the bullseye on the family target. Everything else is secondary. Everything else takes a lower place esteem. Because if companionship isn't working, the family is not working. And many husbands and wives are not friends. There is no sharing of that which the greatest heart and greatest need. Companionship. We talk about a lot of things about marriage and what's supposed to be. But God says, Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. Not good. So someone has said, for young persons or people who are getting married or looking for a spouse, the question is not, will he be a good provider? That's a good question to ask. Nor does he offer me security. The question before all of these is this, will he be a companion to me? Or am I prepared to be his companion for life? Those are the questions that are important to ask. But can I live with this person for the rest of my life? Do I like this person? Do they like me? Companionship. It's sad to say in a lot of marriages, Christian marriages, our husbands and husbands spend more time with the boys than they do with their wives. And vice versa. Companionship. God saw Adam. He saw his loneliness. And maybe just as there is communion and fellowship in the Godhead between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Father wanted to see the same type aspect demonstrated in his creation. There's communion in the Godhead. And so the Father wanted a picture of that on the earth. And so he says, it's not good that man should be alone. And so, out of the man came the woman, out of the woman comes the children, and you have this communion, you have this family, you have this companionship. This is a question to your heart and to my heart as a man, as a husband, as a wife. Is your husband, your wife, your friend? Are they truly your companion? You know, it's possible to be married for years and years and truly won't be a companion. Or you see the wife in that light. Are you friends? This whole idea. It's not good for man to be alone. But thirdly, the partners of the partnership are complementary. God says, verse 18, I will make him and help me. I will make him and help me for him. Or I will make him a helper. Someone suitable for him. Someone who will help him. Who will help him? Someone has said that when the Lord said, I will make him a helper, he indicated basic need of man. I think as men, we need to understand this. To achieve our objective in life, we need a helper. And so that's why when Paul says in the book to Corinthians that the woman was made for the man. She was made to be his assistant, to aid him, to help him. She was designed to be a helpmate. So he's not only lonely, he's unable to achieve the two functions that God said to man must achieve. To subdue the earth, to replenish it, to make it fruitful. And so the woman has come along to complement us as men. And we need to see that. We need to see how we need our wives to complement us in everything. And so in creation, the woman corresponds to us as men. Verse 23, Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall now be called woman. He recognized this, that she corresponded to him. He said, my name is Ish. She shall be called Isha. Because she corresponds to me. She alone. The animals didn't. Physically, she looked like him. But also, she didn't look like him. Someone has said that when God said, the Bible said God created man, talking about the physical male man. Just like how Ford does and General Motors, them turn one car after another, after another, after another. But when he made woman, when the Bible says God made the woman from the rib, it means God fashioned her. Now, Dr. Tony Evans would say, when someone said a woman is well built, yes, she is. God fashioned the woman. And so in creation, she corresponds to us physically, emotionally, socially, intellectually, and spiritually. And so our wives are not inferior to us. We're going to mention that in a bit. In marriage, so in creation, she corresponds. In our marriage to us, the Bible says she completes us. Verse 24, they shall be one flesh. She completes us. Dr. Haddon Robinson said, marriage is more than an outward unity of a man and a woman. It is more than two people sharing the same name and living in the same house. The two personalities are joined, that they become one, between the male and the female part of a single entity. Single entity. And so in our marriage to our wives, they complete us. If they are the missing link, many times we go into marriage and we don't understand these biblical principles. I know I really didn't. I said to my wife, I think it was Sunday morning, we were sitting down, going to have a prayer. And I said, you know, I was just laying and I was thinking. I said, you know, outside of Jesus Christ, you are the most important person in my life. Many times in our marriages, we put our children before our spouses. That's not in God's order. When we understand that our wives corresponds to us in creation, when we understand that our marriage to our wives and the wife realize her marriage to us in marriage, she completes me. We are one flesh. She was the missing link in me. One flesh. And so creation, she corresponds to a husband or to the man. And in marriage, she completes him. After the marriage, she complements him. Complements the man. Simply means that which is weak in me should be a strength in her. That which is a strength in me, help that which is weak in her. And so that's why husbands and wives should talk about things together. They should analyze things together. Talk about decisions. Because sometimes as men, we could be sometimes rigid and things. We think from a, you know, logical point of view, and this is the way it ought to be. But then the woman can bring that emotional and sensitivity to the whole discussion. You miss? As a matter of fact, she and I were talking about something last night, and she was saying, Kevin, you're looking at this from an ideal point of view, but I'm looking at it from X, Y, Z. And I said, you know, you might be right. You might be right. And so our wives have come along, not just to walk in the back of us, but to walk alongside of us, to complement us, those areas in our lives where we are weak. She brings something to the marriage. And we need to see them as complementing us. Someone has said that incompatibility is not two people who have the unlikes, but you really, the incompatible people are those who have everything alike, similar, who agree on the same thing, but the unlike, when they come together, strength. And so God has given the wife to complement us. and of husbands, they are given to balance and help us. To balance us in every way. We have to balance each other. And so the parts of the partnership are complementary. Well, let me look at this also. The provision implied, the fourth and final point, in the partnership is care. Look at verse 21 and 22. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Note the phrase, he took one of his ribs. Verse 22. The rib which the Lord God taken from the man made or fashioned he a woman. Made he a woman. Note the emphasis. Made he or fashioned the woman. From the verses, you see the dignity and quality of the woman. The dignity and the equality of the woman. The woman was not made from inferior stuff. She was made from the same stuff that the man was made of. She came from the man. She came from the man. From his rib. You've heard it before, I'm sure. She did not come from his head to rule over him. She did not come from his feet to be trampled by him. She came from his side. Nurtured by him. And so the whole idea, the provision, the partnership, implies the provision of care. From you see that. Same substance. God didn't go anywhere else to get made. He made her from that which was in the man of you and me. The second thing we talk about this provision implies the woman was a part of Adam. So that's why the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and 28, man is to love his wife as he loves himself. Why? Because she's him. She's you. She's me. He's part of him. That's why I made the emphasis. She complements. That's why the husband is commanded to love his wife as he loves his own body. Because she is a part of us. She's a part of you. Me. So marriage is a partnership. Marriage takes work. In order to see, to work at it, you need to see what God has to say about it. God planned it. The plan of the partnership is God. The purpose of the partnership is companionship. Part of the partnership are complementary. Partnership implies provision and care. They take care of our wives. We are together in this. Many times, husband and wives come to the marriage and say, well, I'm going to get 50%. Next month, I'm going to get 50%. It never works. Everyone must give 100%. You and I must give 100% whether my wife is giving it or not. Marriage is a partnership. How's your partnership doing? You might be married for 2 years, 1 year, 15 years, 10 years, 25, 35, maybe about. Do you see your partner, do you see your wife as a man, as a husband, as your partner, as one God has given to you, as an equal, one who's called along to correspond to you, the one who God has given to you to complete you, complement you, that she might help you achieve all that God has called you to achieve in life. As a wife, do you see yourself as a wife? As a helpmate to your husband? Not a drawback, not pulling him down, pushing him, being there, being a helpmate. What a wonderful thing. Then husband and wife can see themselves in the light that God has created them to be in their marriage. Not easy, That's why. And now I talk about Ephesians 5. Many times I allude to Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So if you want our marriage to do what God wants us to do, as husbands and as wives, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Marriage is a partnership. May we pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And we thank you, O Lord, that in the midst of the difficulties and trials that we go through in life, we see it also happening in the experience of the domestic life. We see marriages and families that are hurting. Lord, we thank you that in your word there lies the answer. Help us as husbands and wives to see and to fulfill our roles. Help us to see that we have need one for the other. Help us as husbands to realize how much we need our wives. That we cannot say to them that we do not need them. Because they are a part of us. They complete us. They complement us. Help us, help the wives to understand that they've been given to help us as husbands and men to achieve that which you have called us to achieve. And that they are not to usurp the authority that's given to us as husbands and men in the home. But, O Lord, that they lovingly will submit not to terror, not to subjugation, but as we love them, that they will respond to us unto you. Father, we all need your Spirit to help us. In our own strength, we cannot be what we ought to be. So, Father, tonight we pray that you would allow your Holy Spirit to fill us, and control us, and to help us be all of these you have called us to be. So, Lord, in the name of the Christ of God, we ask back you to bless your word, though feebly given, Lord, we ask you to help us. And this is now is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that to happen, we need to surrender ourselves as husband and wives. Maybe just sing the first stanza. And, brother, you don't need to come. I think we all know that. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him. Thank you.
All to Jesus I surrender. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender. To thee.